First, fair, moron, me. All right, lock up the Oregon fuel injection hotline, and let's do this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
Well, I was going to say it's the post-break lightning round, but I guess we got two games going down, and we hope the Ducks can beat USC and UCLA in the lightning round. Wow, that was brutal.
Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. Not good, but interesting. Right. We are halfway through February. That basically makes it March, and when it's March, there's madness, and when there's madness, there's college basketball. The Big East has two teams in the top four, Villanova and Xavier at 3-4 respectively. Nova beat up the Musketeers back on January 10th. They meet again on Saturday in Cincinnati. Even with the loss to Nova, Xavier holds a one-game lead in the Big East going into this big-time matchup. Who wins the Big East regular season title, Villanova or Xavier?
Whoa, Nova showing a little bit of vulnerability. I think I'm going to go with my boy Trevon Blewett and my X-Men. By the way, little tidbit from last night. With the defeat, we have now have 31 top five losses this year by Valentine's Day, the most ever.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
In a similar situation is the Big Ten with the Ohio State, Michigan State, and Purdue all battling for their regular season title. Ohio has a half-game lead over Michigan State and Purdue a full game behind the Buckeyes. Purdue took their only losses of the conference to Michigan State and Ohio State. The Buckeyes have the head-to-head advantage over Sparty. That said, there is time for madness to kick in since I said it is March. Who wins the Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan State, or Purdue?
I think with their balance and depth and the way they're coming on more with that Keita Bates Diop, I'm leaning Buckeyes.
Interesting. The Rockets have the best record in the NBA and the Western Conference going into the All-Star break by a half game over the Warriors. Rockets went 2-1 in the season series against the Warriors, and the Rockets' offense has been off the charts this year, shooting more baskets farther away from the hoop than ever before, while somehow, as a team, running less, and they seem to have an edge against the best team in the NBA, the Warriors. Who wins the West, Houston or Golden State?
Oy, do I get a pending option
here?
You
do not. One of the two teams will do it.
You know, this team also plays defense. Chris Paul is one of the top two or three defensive point guards, not just this year, last year, you know, John Wall and a handful of others in just recent memory. I think, and also I know Golden State's not playing at 100%. I don't trust Paul or Harden in the postseason. I hope it's going to be a 6 or 7 game West final, but with their coaching and who they are and having been down this road, I'm still leading Warriors.
It's a sad day in the NFL. The Raiders will not be bringing back former first-round pick Sebastian Janikowski. The former number 17 overall pick in the 2000 draft is one of three active players from that draft, the other being his former Raiders teammate Shane Lechler and Tom Brady. Imagine today a team not only taking a kicker 17th overall, but then in the fifth round drafting a punter. Kickers and punters seem to play forever, and of the five players in their 40s in the NFL, four are kickers and the other is Tom Brady. Seabass's agent says that the 39-year-old is too young to retire even though he missed the 2017 season with a leg injury. He's still known for his big leg and plenty of teams can use a reliable kicker like that of Janikowski. San Diego, Seattle, Tampa. What percent chance do you give Seabass of playing in 2018?
Wow. I like the guy who reminded us today. They trusted him so much. They once tried a 75-yard field goal. That's like from a part of the field where you shouldn't even be able to see the goalpost. Kickers have a tendency to linger. Morton Anderson, it seemed like he was out of the game for about 11 years, then showed up for another 6. I'm going to give him a 75% chance of kicking next year.
Speaking of comebacks, Larry Fitzgerald is returning for his 15th season in the NFL. He is 91 receptions behind Tony Gonzalez for second all-time and 389 yards behind Terrell Owens for second all-time in receiving yards. 35-year-old has three straight seasons with 100-plus receptions and 1,000 yards. He's done all of that with a combination of Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton as his quarterback. What percent chance do you give Larry Fitzgerald of ending 2018 with both second most receptions yards in history?
How many catches does he need to?
He would need 92.
Well, that's a difficult one. He's got the yardage. I mean, if he's playing, 92 catches in that offense, even with three straight 100-yard seasons, unsettled at quarterback. So it's got to be both.
Both.
All right. So 106, 80%. I split the difference. I figure he's got 60% of one, 100 of the other.
Okay. Speaking of more returns, Tim Lincecum had another showcase today. The show teams at the 33-year-old, two-time Cy Young winner, two-time no-hit thrower, still has something left in his tank. His return to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim and Orange County wasn't good at all, and we're never going to talk about it again. He never got past the sixth inning and had a 9.16 ERA, but today he was reportedly throwing 90 to 94 and was much higher than the low 80s he was touching last year. What percent chance are you giving big-time Timmy Jim of pitching in the majors in 2018?
Well, when we last left our heroes, his ERA was 9. That meant that
we're not talking about the Angels
season. The manager felt like I can't even send him out there for an inning without giving up a run. So pitching in the major, so that means he gets a minor league deal, he throws a couple, and then he gets lit up at AAA. Now he's done none.
None percent. Seattle finally formally bid for an expansion, not relocation, to become the 32nd NHL franchise, and a big part of this bringing back the Big Four sport, sorry Sounders, back to Seattle is a $600 million renovation for Key Arena set to be done in time for the 2020-2021 NHL season. That is very hard to say.
I was trying that yesterday. That is difficult.
A lot of 20s. The success of the Golden Knights has shown that expansion teams can be successful right away, not only draw in fans, but keep them as well. So the return of a Big Four sport to Seattle is blank.
Pretty logical. I know that the NHL wants hockey in the Great Northwest. And a lot of people are of the opinion that they should also be, if not first, second in line if they add another or relocate another NBA franchise. So I think it's more logical with each passing day.